You're listening to Current State on WKAR. This is Sue Carter filling in for Mark Bayshore. The gray wolf was declared an endangered species in 1975 after overhunting devastated the population. After decades-long recovery, their numbers rebounded. They were taken off the endangered species list in 2012. And now some states, including our own Wolverine State, Michigan, are considering using hunting as a way to control potential wolf-human conflicts. Here to talk about some of the science and the rationale behind that decision, Adam Bump. He's a bear and a fur bear specialist at the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
May I just start by asking out of curiosity, what's a fur bearer specialist?
I think that is one of the most common questions I get. Fur bearers are species that are most commonly harvested for their fur. So if you think of muskrats, beavers, coyotes, all those sorts of things.
Got it. When I led an expedition to the North Pole, in 2001, we used wolverine.
Okay.
So I felt pretty good taking a dead wolverine to the North Pole. but to get serious about this, because this is an issue that has raised a lot of debate on both sides of the politics. But let's talk about the rationale behind it, the DNR's strategy for managing the gray wolf population in the UP.
Sure. Like you said, it's a very controversial topic. It's something that the department has been trying to plan ahead for years, the potential for wolves to be delisted in Michigan, which would give state sole authority over management. So we developed in the early 2000s, we worked on developing a wolf management plan. We pulled in all those stakeholders, all the groups that you're now hearing from on the different sides of should we hunt or should we not hunt wolves. And we developed a plan that was approved in 2008 that was really trying to look forward towards delisting. So now that wolves are delisted, our strategy was, let's go back, take a look at the plan. What did we say we wanted to do? Wolves became delisted. The legislature designated them as a game species. And so the department's strategy was, now that we have that potential tool to use for management, is now an appropriate time to consider using it. So we looked at that plan. Mm-hmm. The plan outlined several timings, strategies, reasons you might want to use hunting as a management tool. Then we looked at the current conditions in the Upper Peninsula, felt that those conditions were met, and so we put forward a recommendation for a hunting season.
So a lot of data collection went into developing a plan, creating a sense of protocols, if you will, about how one goes about establishing the error bars for wolf hunting. Gray wolf is what we're talking about, but can you talk about the various species of wolves, and do we just have the gray wolf in Michigan?
Well, the researchers that look at wolves right now, the genetics of wolves, mm-hmm. That's another new tool that we have in mm-hmm. wildlife management, are finding a lot of interesting things that I don't think biologists are all in agreement on in terms of what those are. So we're talking about gray wolves, Canis lupus, the species that was federally listed. There's a lot of debate right now about whether there's a species called the eastern wolf and whether there are at least some animals that have some of that genetics in Michigan or not. But primarily we're talking about the Canis lupus and just management of wolves in the state.
And the plan that the DNR is putting forth deals with the UP when it comes to hunting, right?
Yes, it does. The plan covers the entire state, but since right now we only have a manageable population in the Upper Peninsula, but the plan does talk about if wolves were to become established mm-hmm. in the lower, how would we handle them?
Well, those four deer who happened to be in my lawn this morning, and I live in East Lansing right near the post office, I thought, oh my gosh. But it also reminds me, Adam, that as humans change their habitation, as climate changes, we're getting some pretty interesting and pretty quick shifts in population, aren't we?
Yeah, you can see some pretty interesting changes and shifts, and it's going to be interesting time to watch how wildlife reacts to those kinds of things. And even the wolf situation in the Upper Peninsula, you have conditions where you have urban environments, wolves, deer in urban environments, and when you put those three together, you end up with conflicts that probably aren't the traditional sorts of things that you think of when you think of wolves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the challenge for our agency, is to try to figure out, well, how do we handle those sorts of situations?
So the three little pigs aren't part of your factoring, right?
Well, the three little pigs do play a little bit of a role, I guess. It's usually cows and sheep, though.
Got it. We're talking with Adam Bump, who is the fur and fur bearer specialist with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. How do you go about counting the number of wolves in the UP?
Well, we have a survey system that does some sampling, but it's a minimum winter count. Mm-hmm. So we have most of the packs in Michigan have at least one animal that has a radio collar. And that allows us, usually through aerial surveys, to pinpoint the locations of the packs. And then in the wintertime, especially in the UP, there's always snow. Mm-hmm. So you can send staff out, and they actually track the packs until they're confident they've identified the number of individuals. So the packs will stay together, then split and come back, and you actually follow individual tracks. And by sampling a portion of the UP each time we do the survey, mm-hmm. we can then generate a minimum winter estimate. It's the lowest time of year for wolves, so populations will spike in the spring when they have pups and then start to decline for the rest of the year. So it's helpful for us to know this is how many wolves we have when we have the fewest in the course of a year.
And the numbers you're looking at right now, where do they stand?
We're right in the 600, mm-hmm. 650 range. What we've seen is a pretty substantial growth rate when wolves were becoming reestablished. That's a standard thing that we see with reestablishing populations. And at some point, they start to level off. And it looks like it could be the case now that wolves are starting to level off in the UP.
Mm-hmm. And as the population reestablished, was it that wolves came over from Isle Royale, or there were just enough to start to repopulate?
Actually, that's another common misperception that we have, that the
department
introduced wolves on their mm-hmm. own, which we did try once.
Right.
We documented the deaths of every single one of the wolves that we introduced. It was mm-hmm. a very small group. So the wolves that we have now came in through natural immigration from, well, it was Minnesota to Wisconsin, then into the western UP. And then we also had animals cross on their own from Ontario on the east. So both of them came over. I'm not aware of any wolves that we know of that came from Isle Royale. So they both came around on the mainland.
They have a different accent, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You can tell. Yeah.
You know, a lot of environmentalists, Adam, suggest that maybe it's just a little bit too soon with the wolves having been delisted only in the last couple of years. Are we rushing too quickly into this?
I think that it's a good question to ask. I think some of the things that you need to look at is that wolves have actually met federal recovery goals for mm-hmm. well over a decade. They've met state goals for nearly that long as well. So they did just get delisted in 2012. There mm-hmm. were several other attempts to delist earlier. So they have met those criteria for a long time frame. The other thing to look at is Michigan set up a controlled, restricted hunt. Only 12% of the UP was open for
right.
specific goals. We were looking to not impact the overall population. We're trying to have a targeted effect on some localized conflict issues, but not affect the overall population. So when you look at that, this isn't a population management hunt. Wolves have been here and have met delisting criteria for a long time. I think it was appropriate for us to look at it when we had the ability to use the tool.
Mm-hmm. For those who object to hunting, are there other ways to control the population?
Yeah, and I think that's an important component of the plan. When we looked at implementing hunting, it was only in addition to all the other tools.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not trying to replace any tools. We're trying to add something where the current tools haven't been effective. So we use non-lethal techniques. We've mm-hmm. used federal grants to help farmers with fencing, with changing farming practices. We've used technical assistance, education, hazing practices to try to scare wolves out of areas where you wouldn't mm-hmm. want them. And then also targeted lethal practices. So we have, we work with USDA Wildlife Services, a federal branch of government, to target, remove wolves that are causing problems. When wolves became delisted, livestock owners and pet owners had the ability to kill a wolf. It was in the act
right.
of attacking.
Right.
So we use all those techniques, and we'll continue to use them with hunting. But there are a lot of different methods that you can use.
The other states that have gone before us in the delisting and allowing hunting, what lessons can we learn from them?
Well, it's been interesting but also difficult, because if you look at Minnesota and Wisconsin, the two nearest states that have a hunting season, their approach was much different than ours. So they have a much broader hunt. They take many more animals. They're looking at broader goals than we are. They met some level of controversy. I don't know if it's quite as significant as what we're seeing here in the state. But we looked at their success rates, the techniques that they use, whether they were successful or not. We looked at what's happening with their population. And they're doing the same with us, so that we can all try to learn from each other. And since we took up those different approaches, it gives us the advantage of being able to see, well, that worked over there. Maybe it would work over here as well.
Good scientific approach. Compare and contrast and see what's going on. Briefly, we've got proposals coming up in November. Depending on how they turn out, will that impact the DNR strategy?
Because we had citizen-initiated legislation that was recently passed by the legislature, beginning in March or April, that gives the Natural Resource Commission the authority to designate game. The two referendum that will be on the November ballot will play a role, at least for a short time period, but we do know that we already have that law that has passed. What happens between now and then is, I think, up in the air.
In all kinds of ways.
Right.
It certainly is one that has generated a lot of public interest, and I thank you for coming to join us. Adam Bump, bear and fur bearer specialist, and I now know what that term means, bear and fur bearer specialist with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Thanks so much for being here, Adam.
Thanks for having me.